Hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. Hey, have you ever wondered about the very bottom line of going to heaven? I mean, have you ever wondered, like, at the very end of their life, if a person turns to Christ in the last hour or the last day of a week of their life, do they really get to go to heaven? Like people who've served the Lord for decades? I mean, what is the absolute terminus ad quem here, after which you can't be saved anymore? Or is there such a thing? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today on Live with Lon. So, I want to express our deep grief and concern for what happened in Texas this past week. All of those people who were swept away by that water. And we want to pray for them today, many of whom were and are believers, and their families. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for comfort and for strength and for stamina for those in Texas who have lost so much. Lord, please come alongside them and comfort them as only you can do. And we pray for people that are still missing, that Jesus, in your mercy, maybe some of them will actually be found alive and well. Oh God, be there as the God of comfort and care for all of those people, we pray. And Lord, now we commit our time in the scripture to you. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would open our hearts and our minds and help us to understand your word in a powerful way. And may it encourage our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay. We are studying the Gospels, and we are up to the point where the Lord Jesus is on the cross, and we have seven sayings that the Lord Jesus pronounced while he was hanging on the cross, and we're in the process of doing a little mini-series on them, those seven sayings, and today we come to one of the most well-known, at least with many people, of those sayings, and one of the most well-known events, and one of the most well-known characters in the New Testament, the thief on the cross. So, let's pick up. We're in the New King James Version of the Bible, and remember what we study here at Lon Solomon Ministries. We study, come on, say it with me, the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible, and then we apply it to our life. So, here we are. We're in Luke chapter 23, and I pick up at verse 39. And one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, the Messiah, save yourself and us." But the other thief, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, here's our saying on the cross, "Assuredly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now that's our passage and that's our saying, but let's take it apart a little bit, shall we? Then we'll put it all back together. One of the criminals who was hanging there blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save us, save yourself, and save us." And the other thief said to him, "Do you not fear God, seeing that you're under the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Okay, so the other thief confronts the first one and says, hey, you know what? We are getting what we deserve. We are justly suffering here on the cross because thievery was a capital offense in the days here of the Roman Empire. So being caught as a thief, they were suffering capital punishment. And the other thief says, this is just. We're guilty. We really did what we're accused of doing. And we really are being crucified because we're guilty. And then he says to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Lord, Lord, an expression of surrender of his life to Christ. Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Why? Because today is the day they're going to die. And so today is the day that the Lord is going to grant eternal life to this man. And today is the day he's going to take this man to paradise. Now, what is paradise here? Well, this word only appears three times in the Bible. It appears here, paradise. It appears in 2 Corinthians, verse 2 of chapter 12. I know a man in Christ, he's talking about himself, by the way, who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows. Paul said, I don't know if this was a vision. I don't know if it was a dream. I don't know if I was actually physically transported there. I'm not sure. God knows. And such a one, verse 2, was caught up into the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, that he, God knows, how he was caught up into, look at this word, verse 4, paradise, and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So here Paul says, I was caught up into the third heaven, which is, he calls paradise with a capital P, just like the Lord in Luke 23 refers to paradise. And Paul says it's the third heaven that he was caught up into. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. The Bible never defines this. I was sharing this one day, and I had someone come up to me and said, well, I know what the three heavens are. And I said, you do? And this person proceeded to give me a quick definition of the first two heavens and then paradise. And he said, I'm right, yes. And I said, sir, I don't know. The Bible doesn't define heaven number one, which he called just the sky, and heaven number two, which he called like the universe, outer space, and then paradise, heaven number three, which is where God is. You know what? Is that possible? I guess. Is that right? Who knows? I don't know. But whatever Paul was caught up into was the third heaven called paradise. And he says, look, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, he said, I heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man here on earth to utter. The things Paul saw and experienced there and heard there, he was not allowed to come back to earth here and tell us any of it. Why? Again, I'm not positive. Maybe Because if we really knew how incredible paradise is, none of us would stay here. We'd all go jump off a bridge to get there quicker. Meanwhile, God needs us to stay here. We have things that God has called us to do here on earth in his service. So that may be why Paul wasn't allowed to come back and tell us. I don't know. All I know is Paul said in Philippians 1 that to depart and be with Christ in paradise is exceedingly far better. So I assume he's giving us a hint there of how awesome paradise, where Jesus is going to take every believer, how awesome it must be. Exceedingly far better. And the final time that paradise appears in the scripture is in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, and look at verse 7. He who has an ear, the Lord Jesus writes to the church at Ephesus, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the, here comes our word, in the midst of the paradise of God. So here we're told that the tree of life, which I'm assuming is the very same tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden, that this is in paradise. And many church fathers actually held the opinion that paradise is a restored Garden of Eden where the tree of life is found. Revelation chapter 22, and here's what it says. Verse 1, and the angel showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, he's talking now about the new heaven and the new earth, was the tree of life, verse 2, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their forehead, and there shall be no night there. And they need no lamp for light, for the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So it appears from these verses that the tree of life, which was in the Garden of Eden, which God put angels around so that Adam could not eat of the tree of life. You say, why couldn't Adam eat? Well, because now after he sinned, he was in a fallen state. He had a sin nature. And if he ate of the tree of life, he would have eternal life, but in a sinful condition. And with a sinful nature and a sin nature in his body and all of his descendants as well. And God doesn't want us in heaven with our sin nature. He wants us in heaven with our resurrected bodies, with no sin nature, so that we won't sin in heaven. And that's why he hid the tree away from Adam in his fallen state. But now, in our risen state with Christ, in our resurrection bodies, we have freedom to eat of the tree of life. And if the tree of life is here in paradise, then maybe it is a resurrected, a reformed Garden of Eden. I don't know. But anyway, those are the three appearances of the word paradise. And it seems, therefore, that paradise is synonymous with being in heaven in the presence of Christ with the throne of God, with the tree of life, with the angels, and in our resurrected bodies without sin anywhere, where God wipes the tears away and where everything is perfect forever. That's what it seems to be. And if this is correct, and I believe it is, then what Jesus is promising the thief on the cross is that today I'm giving you eternal life, and today, as you die on the cross here, I am going to take you to be with me in paradise, in heaven, where the throne of God is. And wow, what an incredible comment Jesus makes to this thief. Now, let's ask a question or two about the thief. The thief on the cross, what did he do to get this eternal life? Well, he did three things. I want you to notice it. Going back to Luke 23. Number one, he said to the other thief that we are on the cross, look at this, justly, verse 41, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. The first thing he did is he owned his stuff. He owned his sin. He didn't give any excuses. He didn't give any justifications. He didn't blame anybody else. He said, we did it. We're guilty. And we are suffering the penalty of what we deserve. That's the first thing he did. He came clean about his sin. Number two, he repented of his sin. He turned to the Lord and he called him Lord. He wanted nothing to do with his sin anymore. He was interested in making a U-turn. He was interested in repenting of his sins and turning to Christ, whom he said, look at verse 41, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said he called Jesus Lord. So this represents an attempt to be reconciled with God and to turn from his sin. And then finally, the third thing he did is he threw himself 100%, not 99%, 100% on the mercy of Jesus to save him. He said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Now notice, he didn't say, Lord, I've done this, I've done that, I've sung in the choir, I've attended church, I've been confirmed, I've been baptized, I've been this, I've been that, I've done that, I've done this. He presents no good works, because he has no real good works, but he presents nothing to the Lord on the basis of which the Lord should save him and bring him into his kingdom. He simply says, Lord, I depend on you, 100%, completely depend on you and your mercy for me, plus nothing. Do you see that? Okay. Now, Jesus accepted his request because it was based on coming clean about your sin, accepting responsibility for it, repenting of it, and wanting to make a U-turn from it, being really sorry about it, and number three, throwing himself on the mercy of God plus nothing. And on that basis, Jesus saved him and granted him eternal life right there on the cross. Said, today, you're going to be in paradise with me. Now notice, the thief couldn't get down from the cross to go do a bunch of good works, to go do a bunch of religious activity, to give a bunch of money to the church, to try to keep the Ten Commandments, nothing. All he had was a heart that took responsibility for his sin, a heart that was broken about his sin and wanted to repent and change and gave his life to Christ. And number three, a total dependence on the mercy of Jesus plus nothing to take him to heaven. That's all he had. Would you notice? That's all he needed. That's all he needed. And Jesus said to him, today, because of your taking responsibility, repenting, turning to me in full and complete dependence for eternal life, today, I'm taking you to paradise. Do we understand? Okay. Do you have to be baptized to be saved? No. Why? Because the thief couldn't go get baptized. Do you have to do any good works to be saved? No. Why? Because the thief couldn't get down and go do any good works. Do you have to do anything in your own human effort to be saved? No. The thief couldn't get down and go do anything on his own behalf. All we have to do is take responsibility for our sins, repent and turn to Christ as our Lord and Savior, and depend on what he did for us on the cross. 100% throw ourselves on his mercy and what he did for us on the cross to take us to heaven. That's it. Done deal. Now, that's as far as we want to go in our passage, because we want to ask our most important question now. Are you ready? Come on now. 1, 2, 3. So what? Yeah. Wow. How great is this? Today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Hey, you know what we say? How sweet it is to have a Savior like this. We turn to him. We depend on him. We repent of our sins. We give our life to him. We take responsibility. And he says, he who believes in me like that, John 6:47, has eternal life. Now, what I wanted you to take home with you from this today? Well, what I want you to take home with you is what the bottom line of salvation is. I mean, what is it, the sine qua non, the very bottom level of what constitutes coming to Christ and him saving you? What do we have to do to have that happen? Well, we have to do exactly what the thief on the cross did. Now, I've met people who have said to me, oh, I'm too far gone. I'm too bad. I'm too unrighteous. I've done too much sin. Sorry. I don't care how much sin you've done. I don't care how bad you are or were. You're not beyond salvation. I don't care how bad this thief was. He did the bottom line of salvation, and he got paradise. Some people say, oh, man, you can't wait till the last few minutes before you're saved and suddenly turn to Christ and suddenly be given eternal life after a life of sin and all. Yes, you can. That's exactly what the thief on the cross did. He had maybe a couple of hours left to live, and he turned to Christ, and Jesus saved him. Yes, you can. If it's genuine and you're sincere, yes, you can wait till the last minute if you want to. You say, well, what did he do again? Hey, he accepted responsibility for his sin. He did not come to God with excuses, justifications, explanations. He came to God and said, God, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm a sinner and I'm guilty. And I know it, and I accept that, and I deserve to go to hell. Number two, he repented. He said, but I don't want to be that way anymore. I want to make a change. I want you to be my Lord. That's why he called him Lord. I want you to come into my life, and I want you to help me be different. I repent of my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. And number three, he said, Lord Jesus, hanging here on the cross, there's not one thing in the world I can do to earn my salvation, merit my salvation. All I can do is trust in your mercy. And that's all he did. And friends, that's the bottom line. And whether you do it 40 years before you leave this earth, or whether you do it 40 minutes before you leave this earth, if it's done sincerely, it gets you into paradise. That's what the Bible teaches. My dad, I had the privilege of leading my dad to Christ 1 week before he died. He prayed and asked Jesus. I'd been witnessing to him for years, but in the hospital in Charlottesville, Virginia, UVA Hospital, he prayed and asked Jesus into his life on Saturday, and the next Saturday he was gone into eternity. Is my dad in heaven? Absolutely. Absolutely. You say, but wait a minute. What about all these people who serve the Lord as missionaries for 40 years? They suffer and they sacrifice and they work hard for the Lord. You mean to tell me that somebody at the last second, like your dad or the thief on the cross, can just pop into heaven and just like they after 40 years of serving the Lord? You mean it? How's that fair? Well, wait a minute. I didn't say that someone who serves the Lord for 40 years and someone who asks Christ in their life with 40 minutes left, I didn't say that their standing in heaven when they get there is the same. God has rewards in heaven. He's going to reward us for our service down here. And the people who serve the Lord 40 years down here are going to get rewards that the person who comes in at 40 minutes before his death is not going to get. So they're not going to be completely equal standing in heaven. You say, what are these rewards? I don't know. Bible never says exactly whatever they are. I'd like to have some of them. But no, of course, my dad is not going to be on the same footing as a 40-year missionary who served the Lord with all of his heart or her heart. No, I didn't say that. But I did say they'll both get into heaven, because getting into heaven has nothing to do with what you did for 40 years or what you didn't do in 40 minutes. It has to do with trusting what Jesus did for you on the cross, acknowledging your sin and repenting of it, turning to God sincerely from your heart with godly sorrow about what you've done and trusting Christ. Okay, are we together on that? Okay, good. So that's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. Here's what I want you to take with you. It is never too late to turn to Christ. It is never too late to turn to Christ and be saved. And if some of you out there have been putting this off for years and years and years, for whatever reason, you don't think you're good enough, you think that you've done too much sin, you think and whatever, it's never too late. I don't care what you've done. Long as there is breath in your body, my friends, or in anybody's body, it's never too late. My dad, a week before he died, and that's why we don't stop praying for people until there's no more breath in their body, because as long as there is, then it is still possible for them to come to Christ, and we should never stop sharing with them, even on their deathbed. I remember my grandmother, who was dying of emphysema, COPD now, was in the intensive care unit and had a trach and would never come off the trach. She would die a couple days later. So, and was kind of in a coma, but it's okay. I went into the room, the ICU, as a pastor, I could do it. And I got right down next to her ear, and I whispered to her, Bubba, that's what we called her, you can turn to Christ. You can still turn to Jesus. He's the Messiah of Israel. He died on the cross to pay for your sins. And if you will trust him right now, he will forgive your sins, and he will give you eternal life, and he will take you to heaven to be with God when you leave here. You can still do it, Bubba. It's still open to you. The door is still open. The offer is still available. Why was I pleading with her like that? Because of what we studied today, understanding biblical truth, that if the thief on the cross with 40 minutes left could turn to Christ, she could turn to Christ with 2 days left. You understand? We never, ever, ever give up on anybody who's still breathing, even if they're in a coma with a trach. We're still in there pleading for their soul, praying for them, their soul, pleading with them to come to Christ. You with me? That's the bottom line. As long as there's breath in your body, it is never too late to come to Christ. Now, to close, let me just say, after we leave this earth, it is too late. You say, how do you know that? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Once we die, the thing that's on the other side is God's judgment. For those of us who've trusted Christ, God's judgment sends us to heaven. The angels come get us like they did Lazarus in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And it says the angels carried Lazarus to Abraham's bosom, another word for heaven. And the rich man opened up his eyes and he was in hell. And the rich man said, can I come over to where you are, Abraham and Lazarus? And Abraham said, I'm very sorry. There's a great chasm, a great canyon fixed between us that no one can cross. We can't come there and show mercy to you. We feel horrible for you, suffering in hell the way you do. And you can't come to us. It's done. So remember, as long as there's breath in someone's body, they can still be saved. Once they're gone from this world, the option is withdrawn. It's over. So pray, talk, plead, beg people to come to Christ while they're still breathing and while there's still time. And if you're out there and you've never come to Christ because you said, I'm too bad, I'm too awful, thief on the cross, accept responsibility for your sin genuinely in your heart. Repent of it. Say you're sorry. Turn to God. Give your life to him and call him Lord, like the thief did. And depend on what Jesus did for you on the cross, plus nothing, as your only hope of heaven. It's not too late for you. Finally, I did an interview yesterday, and part of the interview, the interviewer asked me, he said, we play many of these interviews in prisons across the United States. We have a ministry in the jails and the prisons, and these interviews are played for the prisoners. And he said, what would you tell a prisoner in jail for whatever crime, some of them horrible? What would you say to that prisoner about getting into heaven? And I said, just what I've said to you about what the bottom line is, the sine qua non, the absolute bottom line of what you have to do to be saved. And then I said to him, and I would also tell them that they are in prison or not, no matter what they have done, they're not beyond the reach of God's grace and mercy and salvation. I said, before I came to Christ, I did more horrible things than I could even begin to tell you. And some of the things that I did were absolutely just terrible. I don't even want to tell you. They're terrible things I did. And I believe that God saved me. It's what I told the interviewer, in spite of how awful I was, so that I could be a trophy to his mercy. I could be a trophy to his benevolence and his grace. And I could say to someone, whether they were in prison or not, hey, I don't care what you've done. You can't have done anything I didn't do. And if God saved me, he can save you. But I stole, me too. I lied, me too. I used dope, me too. I was a drunkard, me too. I was a partier, me too. I, on and on into some really nasty things, criminal things, me too. And God saved me 54 years ago and has kept me, praise the Lord, for 54 years. If God can do that to me, And for me, he can do it for you. That's what I would say. Praise the Lord. And if you're out there, that's what I say to you. If God can save me, he can save you. So you come to Christ. And right now, if you're out there and you've never done what the thief on the cross did, here's your moment. If you want to, there's still air left in your body. You can do it. So pray with me if you've never done this. Lord Jesus, I come to you right now, and I take full responsibility for my sins and my behavior. It's not anyone else's fault, Lord. I did it. I'm guilty. I deserve your holy punishment and wrath against my sin. But I want to repent. I want to make a U-turn. I'm truly sorry for the things I've done and the sins I've committed. And I give you my life and I call you Lord now. And I put my trust 100% in your mercy to save me, in your mercy to forgive me, in your mercy to give me eternal life, in your mercy to take me to heaven after I die here, in your mercy on the cross, shedding your blood to pay for my sin. I'm trusting nothing else but your mercy. Please, God, answer me like you did the thief on the cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, my friends, I sure hope you prayed that prayer with me if you've never come to Christ. And even if you didn't, you still can, up to the last breath you breathe on this earth. May God help us all end up in paradise because we did what the thief on the cross did. God bless you. See you next week, Lord willing, on Live with Lon.